You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Cook Unity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly, and new chefs are always joining the team. So you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning. Just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, Cook Unity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
The Off the Ball Podcast Network.
All right, you're very welcome along to Off the Ball. I'm Kieran Bradley. Now, due to a collection of sort of personal and collective insecurities at Off the Ball, it's very rare that we will actually introduce and give airtime to another sports podcast. But in these strange times, we've decided that we're going to break tradition. So I'm delighted to welcome the lads from the socially distant sports bar, Mike Bubbins, Ellis James and Steph Guerrero. Lads, how are we doing?
Very good. Kieran. How are you?
All good, mate. All good.
Well, thank you, mate. Yeah, very good. Thanks for this.
Yeah, no worries. Listen, I'm happy to give you a little bit of airtime on this side of the pond. So before we start, Ellis, have you eaten?
I'll show you. I've actually got a bowl of porridge ready, which I'm going to eat cold because we're recording with you first, and then I'm going to ask for a 5 minute porridge break, and then we're going to record the next episode. Because, I just cannot work on an empty stomach. I had Weetabix about 2.5 hours ago. It's not enough. Bubbins, on the other hand, is like a camel. So he ate about in August.
Yeah.
And he's perfectly pills. Happy.
Pills and the occasional sip of water is fine.
Yeah. Pills is in little, it's not an MDMA.
Yeah, I thought the jaw was going.
You think you'd be a bit happier if he's
constantly wired.
I mean, I'm pretty heavy for such a pill, man.
Imagine how big pupils, you'd be if you weren't dancing.
Pupils. No, yeah. This is what Iggy Pop would look like if you didn't. Yeah, take those sorts of pills.
Piled on the death bastard protein powder. That's the way to go.
Right? Don't.
Listen, thanks to Mill Festival, because I believe Off the Ball and myself got a little shout out on the last pod, and I believe I was nicknamed the Dickie Davis of Dublin.
How wrong I called you that.
Be proven to be. Well, let's look at it this way. I reckon. So we've got Davis and Lynham on this end of the spectrum, and we've got your new bonds and your keys around this end of the spectrum. You... So I'm gonna walk that fine line.
I'd say you're Frank Boff.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks Mill Festival for taking the time. So, lockdown's obviously been a strange time for everyone, but I suppose there are a few winners. And given the success of the podcast, you guys might be well in amongst it, alongside the key workers, obviously, but we'll forget those.
And the listeners, so, if I could say, I think the real winners. People love great content.
It's not about them, but us.
They're not being interviewed now.
What are they doing? Listening? Wow.
Big wow.
How passive do you want to be? Sat there listening. Literally just your eardrums vibrating. You're doing nothing else. And that's involuntary.
Mike, if nothing else, you have a unique approach to marketing, as abundantly clear on the podcast. But, I was saying to you guys pre-recording that I've been publicly shamed or privately shamed even into the Patreon, and I would highly recommend anyone who's not familiar with the pod to do the same. So just to kind of spool back, I suppose, a little bit. Now, obviously, the name of the pod, Social Distance Sports Bar, is... they laughed at you in January when you came up with that, but...
Exactly, yeah.
How wrong they were. I don't care. But so was the concept kind of in train before lockdown hit, or did it come around, due to the circumstances?
Steph, go on.
Probably due to the circumstances, I think. I think there's always been an idea to get these two to work together. I worked with Ellis when I was back at the BBC on his Feast of Football podcast. I've talked to Mike about, because we got our kids go to the same school, so we kind of bump into each other on the school run all the time, and we talked about doing stuff, but we'd never really nailed down the format.
I'm not just a dad on the school run, by the way. I'm not some...
He is, that's all he is. He's just a man. He's just a man on the school run.
Yeah.
And he looks like funny. He looked
amusing. I've been blagging it for 6 months, I'll be honest.
Yeah. He's a very, very well-established comedian in and of his own right.
Not really.
He's not even Welsh. That's what I heard. No.
He's putting that on for us.
Hates rugby.
Can't stand rugby.
Like but rugby. He's willing to put the work in and pretend.
God, he's a scholar. What a scholar.
Hey, whatever, boy, mine.
So I think the original format was going to be... The original idea was going to be that we sort of just sat around and talked about YouTube clips and documentaries, and then... I think we just got it off the ground so quickly because we thought that that was where people were going to want something. You know, you can't watch live sport. That was the idea back in March. We'll do something and we'll get it out there as quick as we can. And we've kind of, probably the first five episodes are what would have been pilots, I guess. Do you know what I mean? They're not the finished product, the first five. They're good and they're better than most things out there anyway, but they're not good. Thanks.
You know what I think they are, the first five?
ABC.
They're about sport. Actual sports podcasts.
Oh, God.
Which we quite quickly realised was the great weakness of it.
That's been done, isn't it? That's been done, to be fair.
That's been done by us for five episodes.
No, it's not a sports podcast about Alice's Nan Sunday dinner, though.
Absolutely not. Nancast.
Do you know what I find quite a bold approach to it? That is, I'm amazed that wasn't the name of the episode.
Yeah. My dad's like Willy.
The name of the latest episode should have absolutely been Commercial Quantities of Penis. But
Commercial Quantities of Shaft.
Shaftcast. So, I was going to say it's a fairly bold approach insofar as, right, we're going to talk about clips that on a podcast you can't actually see. So you're going to have to put together in your mind's eye until you can reach the YouTube. But no, it's absolutely fantastic. And you guys have done a great job so far. So I was just checking this morning, actually, in terms of the charts and where you guys stand in the sports podcast. Maybe a bit off the ball. Who's counting? Don't worry about it. But then you are very big in Japan, I've seen. You've just entered the Japanese podcast. So, Michael, that T-shirt proved to be true after all.
I might write a song about that.
Where are we in the Japanese? Where are we in the Japanese charts?
I think you're in new. That's where it came up on.
Ellis is all about the money. Look at him. Look at his money.
Yeah, look at that. He's looking at pound signs. The yen rapidly rising.
Big market, Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. 20 million people.
A few Hello Kitty t-shirts with Mike Bubbins' face.
Oh, yes, please. Come on.
I'll
happily do an episode just on manga. That's fine. I'll wear blue lycra and I will just do manga the whole episode.
Yeah. So you guys, obviously, for those that might be unfamiliar, Elle and Mike, you guys are stand-ups, among many, many other things, polymaths that you are. But it must be nice to have kind of found this oeuvre, particularly for you guys, obviously yourself as well, Steph, but while gigs have kind of maybe taken a downturn, obviously I know you haven't got quite around to getting honked off just yet, but, you know, you never know.
He's a proper fan.
Nothing but the best. But no, I appreciate that it must have been a fairly difficult time, so it must be nice to have that kind of outlet for you guys.
What I loved about it from the very beginning was that recording it felt like I'd gone to the pub with my mates. So probably the first 16 or 17 episodes, we used to have a drink. And then we had to do one in the morning where we didn't have a drink and crucially realised it was funnier. But I was still having as much fun. So now we do morning records.
On meth.
Try our best to. And it just sets me up. Like, I'll be buzzing all afternoon now. I'll be in such a mood.
From the meth or from
From the meth. Actually, if anything, I find meth makes me a little bit jittery and occasionally quite down. But
the meth adverts. Oh, yeah. God. The meth marketing board are gonna pull the ads.
Yeah, I did stand up in Adelaide and there was a big crystal meth scene. Oh, and they all used to go to a thing called Clipsal. and take crystal meth. And what a great advert for abstaining, for abstention that was. Yeah. Because the gigs, I would say, were unplayable. But anyway, I digress.
Well, for me, Kieran, it suited my essentially lazy nature. So I built a pub in my house. So it means rather than drive to Sheffield or Leeds or Manchester or London or... I mean, Ellis is a grafter when it comes to stand-up as well. I mean, he puts the hard yards in as well. I'm not like that at all. So I can just walk into my pub in my garden, sit on a chair and do the show. That suits me down to the ground.
Yeah, you cracked it.
I think hard work's overrated.
Yeah, it's a for a reason.
what Steph does is Steph puts in hard yards, but he doesn't warn about it. So Steph always pretends that actually it hasn't taken him all day to edit, but we know it has.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's not going on about it, we never thank him.
And that's
you know, and the dance goes on.
Yeah. It's all good.
I find the key is very much in gratitude. That's definitely the way to keep greasing the wheels.
Yeah, we're trying to keep Steph on his
toes. As soon as you bring in what we call extrinsic reward, like Steph does the hard work because it makes him feel good, right? If we then said, well done, Steph.
Yeah.
Then he would come to accept, you know, expect that all the time. And then when we when we don't say that 1 week by mistake, then he's got his, you know, he's in a grump. Whereas if we just keep taking it for granted, everyone's happy.
To be fair
to Alison, like very early on, we said that we weren't prepared to do anything other than watch sports clips and have a laugh.
Yeah. And there's actually a, because we discussed the show in a WhatsApp group. Yeah. There's actually a sub WhatsApp group of just me and Mike where we continue to say we're not going to thank him, we're not going to show him any gratitude at all. We need to keep him on his toes.
You're very much like the real IRA.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'll split the room in Ireland, but
I just found out you made that joke.
Yeah.
I didn't bring the IRA into it.
We're very much just guests. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's all just get on.
That's all we've got time for. No.
Yeah. Kieran's there with Sam.
Just the career just flashes ahead of me. So, boys, I just wanted to in the preparation for this podcast, and I do prepare, as you can absolutely tell. I just wanted to surmise for a few of the listeners who might not be on the Patreon.
Oh, go on.
Indeed, our freeloaders.
Yeah.
Just to introduce, perhaps, Mike Bubbins. So, a few of the stories that I've noted down. So, Mike... stitch up. Mike has dump-tackled an elderly Larry David lookalike. He has accidentally hoovered up his own son's testicles.
Only one of them.
Watched his PE singular. Sorry. Watched his PE teacher buy his class a job lot of jazz mags.
Yeah.
He's seen a Scotsman wave a jobby around a crowded bar, and he's nearly killed a child with a shot put. So I suppose my question really is towards maybe Ellis and Steph. What's it like working with a pathological liar?
Every time a story comes up, you go, well, that's just nonsense, isn't it? But they're so in depth. They're so in depth to the bang on that you can't make things up that well. I don't know. Either he's a genius or he's lived a life, or both. Both is possible.
He's either lived a life, which is my suspicion from the bags under his eyes, or he is. He is the most extraordinary liar I've ever met.
Yes,
and I don't mind either, really, because it's entertaining.
Well, the jazz mag story, a bloke got in touch on Twitter and just said, he said, I don't care if you made that up. It was hilarious. I said, yeah, but I didn't make it up. And then a bloke who was on the same minibus had to back me up and said, I was there. That happened. That's not made up.
Still got it.
I still got the message.
Well, Mike, do you ever, sorry, just to clarify, I'm not saying in this particular instance, but given the fact that you were a PE teacher, do you ever crave for the fact that you weren't a PE teacher in the 80s? Would you have preferred that? A little less regulation a bit?
Well, it depends what sort of PE teacher you were in the 90s.
I don't mean like a disgraced PE teacher.
Oh, no, I mean, nothing like that. But there's nothing stopping you being like unless you do something really bad to a kid, it's almost impossible to get sacked from teaching. It's a, you know, and I've tested that as well, because you can, you can live and teach like an 80s PE teacher and you'll keep your job. You'll never get promoted. You'll never get sacked. And like I said, I was to pride myself in being home by 3:30, what, 6 o'clock. You know,
the beauty is, of course, that... Sorry, I don't mean to cut across, but the beauty is that a lot of PE teachers still dress like 80s PE teachers. Yeah. So the fashion trend is very solid.
There's a uniform, isn't there? I mean, weirdly, the way that I dress is sort of coming back into fashion a little bit now with some trendy types, in which case I'll have to move on because I don't like to... I'll have to start going into the 80s. I'll start wearing shell suits and stuff if that happens.
Yeah.
But I surprised myself in my short shorts and yeah, and... Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I know. Imagine that. I had great at the time as well. I was in buff shape as well. I was really wasn't great in it.
Yeah.
In fact, I said to my wife recently because I got very heavy. I was pushing 20 stone, and when I met her, I was sort of 14 stone of essentially Welsh / Greek god.
So she got more for her money then.
Yeah. Well, but I said this is your fault, Kelly. Really. So how is it my fault? I said, well, because when I was single, I was always in great nick because I was always out, you know, trying to meet girls and stuff. I said, but I'm happily married. I don't fool around. Mm-hmm. I said, put it this way: if I was single, I'd be buff again in about 6 weeks. And she said, "Well, sod off, and I'll see you in 6 weeks."
Very much the stick and the stick approach to
she's, you know, so she's a hard worker, and she's good with the kids.
Yeah, you're very much bringing the looks there, Mike. And listen, you know, just brawn.
Don't praise
mainly,
people.
But
don't
there you
praise
go.
People.
Look at that ostentatious way of drinking that tea. There is no That's way you're beautiful. Not doing They'll that for a YouTube that. Audience.
I wasn't aware of it, sorry.
But listen, like, I've got to say, the pod, I think, it resonated with me and a few mates of mine, as you say, Ellis, because it does feel, has that very familiar feel. And it's quite actually a rare thing to for the listener to kind of have the audio edifice kind of melt away a little bit. And you kind of feel like you're in the room. So that's a real achievement. And obviously that's natural because of the dynamic between the three of you. But given that, like, obviously... That's very important. But I wonder if you guys have ever thought about potentially branching out, maybe doing a few interviews with the likes of, say, Geraint Thomas or Jonathan Davis or people like that, because obviously there's such a Welsh like theme running through the show that it would be really good to get you guys there, get you guys talking to them. I don't know if that's on the cards at all.
I think we've talked about it. If and when this COVID stuff goes away or gets managed better, we can do live shows, then I think that'd be an interesting aspect of a live show. I'm not sure it works well with we do all this by Zoom, obviously, every week. And I've known Steph for sort of 5 years. I've known Alice well for sort of 10 or 12 years now. So I think bringing another person into a Zoom, I mean, this is evidence today, really. It's going to sound awkward and stilted.
That's straight up on the LinkedIn there for me.
Awkward and stilted.
No, I'd like to do it. I'd like to do that live. I think, and there's people that we love that would like to do it as well. So that'd be great for us. Mm. Like, I think Jonathan Davis would be up for it, which would be amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that.
A thing that's been very satisfying is a tremendous amount of our heroes listen to the podcast. Mm. So an ongoing discussion on the WhatsApp group is that a first 15 of socially distanced sports bar listeners would win a World Cup.
Yeah.
Would win a Grand Slam.
Absolutely.
And I can't believe it. I know that Mike and Steph can't believe it either. So and a lot of them as well, especially the older players who were playing in a different time, a less media managed time, have got fantastic stories to tell. Yeah. And I think that would be really good fun if we did that live.
I think that's the key, isn't it? Like, because we find it a lot of the time is that obviously, you know, perfectly understandably, a lot of people are very media managed and media savvy, but you want someone who's able to, you know, let the walls down a little bit. For example, we have John Giles on every Thursday, which is just an absolute pleasure. Like he's such a legend of the Irish game, but obviously the Premier, the top flight game in England as well. And he's been on, you know, for 30, 40 years on the telly, but he's just unbelievably knowledgeable, but also he has that little bit of devilment in him as well. So it's always nice when you get a little bit of that you know. But so I was like, given the Irish kind of theme there. So Ellis, you mentioned on the pod that David O'Doherty had showed you around a few of the pubs in Ireland. Now, obviously, one of the themes of the pod is that Wales is a ridiculously small place,
yeah,
where the degree of separation is down to probably one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw David O'Doherty in town not 5 days ago, because Dublin is basically exactly the same. If you have yeah. if you have a bad breakup, like it's done. Nothing happened. But what I would say about David O'Doherty is body confidence, right? So he was in the most tight spandex cycle gear I've ever seen.
He loves
nothing
it.
Was left to the imagination, and it's beautiful. Oh.
But he loves his sport. What did you make? David as well.
He does, but he's a Spurs fan.
Yeah, he's a Spurs fan and a cycling fan, and he was a very good rugby player in his youth.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. He played in the same under-18s team as Brian O'Driscoll, I think.
Wow.
He was a good, and because of his, I don't want this to sound insulting, but because his comedy is whimsical, you can't really imagine him getting stuck in on the rugby pitch. Mm. But I've played football with him once or twice, and he's a very knowledgeable football fan. So yeah, we're a lot
you get that feeling. Like I think not to big myself and a few friends up, maybe, but the audience you tend to attract is, but it tends to be a little bit more knowledgeable. Like, as in, we kind of go into the, you know, you guys go into the weeds with sport a little bit in a good way. You know, like you kind of dig below the surface, and I suppose that's what we try and do as well. But on the Irish thing, like, so do you have much time in Ireland, El? Have you been over much? Like,
I've done gigs in Ireland. Is it the Liberty? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
I've done gigs there. And I did smaller shows a few years ago. And if I was touring, I would, or, you know, John and I will probably go on a tour when that's allowed. And we will always put in Irish dates. So, yeah, and I've been to Dublin to watch Wales play football as well.
And there's a load. I mean, my family on my mother's side were Irish, were Sheens. And then on my wife's side, they're Murphys and they're O'Brien. And there's a lot of Irish in Wales because of, I don't know. Because of work, I suppose, but
yeah,
we were over there in February. My little boy's playing for Cardiff Schools. We play against Terenure College over there. And I've been going to, like, Al, to see the rugby over in Dublin since I was 18 years of age, I suppose. We had a great time over there. Ended up in a place called O'Donoghue's the one night on Suffolk Street, having a good old sing song. That was fantastic. So, yeah, I love, I said about us on the podcast and staff on the podcast that I did that open top bus tour at Dublin. And I just came, the overwhelming feeling I had at the end of it was A, that I loved the city, but B, that I'd never been so keen on Welsh independence in my life. As soon as I got off the bus, I was ready to join it, you know, just join up the independence movement immediately.
The Cardiff's Farage, that's what they call you.
Yeah. I mean,
but no, that, like, there's definitely, I think there's a, sorry, I didn't mean to cover, there's a real right. Celtic, kind of fraternity for sure. Like you see it. I think, look, I mean, I have to confess, I'm mainly a football fan by a long stretch, but I think you really notice that in the Six Nations, for example. I think there's a lot of respect between the Welsh, the Irish and the Scottish, maybe given the fact that they just all hate England, who knows. But
when Wales played Ireland in the final game of qualification for the 2018 World Cup, and we lost 1-0 and didn't qualify. I got the train from London down, and there were a lot of Irish fans on the train, and I was chatting to them, and it was a really, really pleasant way to spend 2 hours. And I had a drink with a couple of them in the pubs before the game. And you don't get that with football fans very often. Mm-hmm. I went to watch Wales play Scotland at Hampden, and it happened then. But I've always had a real laugh in Ireland. It's just the shame whenever Wales play football in Ireland, the game tends to be absolutely dire.
Yeah.
that's the worst aspect of it.
And the old days, you had to get the sort of
the
fish car to
car
to Rosslare crossing, which was a horrendous crossing, wasn't it? And with a hangover, was 10 times worse.
Oh God! Yeah.
It doesn't. Oh my God!
There are very few. Cross sections of society, let's say, that make me think I don't want to be here more than a late night ferry trip from, say, Holyhead Just
It used to be hilarious. When I first started going to Ireland, when I was, I guess I was 18 years of age, and things were a lot different in Ireland then. Like this, I don't mean to pee off any of your listeners, but I seem to remember getting there, and there wasn't like a motorway until just south of Dublin. There would just seem to be like country roads, and everything's very laid back with the police back in those days. I don't know if it's the same now. So on the way back, on the way back on the Sunday, there would be just lads parked up on the side, drinking cans. They were driving back to the ferry. I thought, what the hell's going on here? Yeah.
Sorry, was that the police? What was that? Yeah.
Well, the police didn't care. And then I remember there was one roundabout near Ross Lair, and we were driving past it, and there was this car that obviously hadn't seen the roundabout, and got over the roundabout, was like stuck on the roundabout. They're waiting for the AA or the RAC or whatever it is in Ireland to turn up. And in the meantime, they just had deck chairs out and they were just sat around drinking cans, waiting for somebody to turn up and tow their car. I thought, this is
wow.
Yeah, this is amazing.
So you consider that a holiday now, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, God. Nice roundabout in Dublin would be lovely.
Mm.
just to get away, yeah, somewhere would be nice.
Getting a suntan in 17 degrees.
I've got my top off after 12.
Yeah.
And just lock-ins everywhere. It's brilliant.
It's something else.
The shutters would just go up. Like, the shutters would go up on these pubs and then they'd just be full of Welsh and Irish fans just drinking till all sorts of hours. It was fabulous.
Yeah, it's great. I'll tell you what, I can't wait for that to be back soon enough. It does, like, without getting too kind of dim and gloomy, like, it really does throw into light relief how important those kind of things are. Because you guys talk about on the pod, obviously, briefly, that sport isn't really about the tactics and the you know, the breakdown and stuff. It's all about the crack, like, you know, with your mates and just the day and the occasion. And Steph, obviously, you put it very well in there. You risk the worst day of your life to have the best day of your life. And I think that's probably a perfect encapsulation of it, because it's very, there's no other type of it. Like, for example, I consider it like a signposting of my life. So, for example, if someone goes to me, September 2001, obviously bar 9/11, sorry. But like, I go, McAteer scoring against Holland, and the same day, England beating Germany 5-1. And then, you know, someone goes 2007, you're like, all right, where was I? United beat Roma, all this stuff. Like, it's an incredible signpost. And I think it's something that, in the absence of it, perhaps, Steph, I don't know if you agree, that in the absence of sport, we kind of realise its importance a little bit more.
Oh, totally. That McAteer goal, by the way, is on my list. That's on my long list.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming soon. Take today. So we're recording it on a Thursday, this interview, and tonight Wales are playing against England in a football international. Now, I'd either be going to Wembley to watch it and maybe actually meet Elle face-to-face for the first time in months, or I'd be going to the local, you know, with my mates, the guys who we go to watch Wales games with, and we'd be hanging out and having a few beers. Whereas tonight, that's not happening, is it? And there's no crowd there, and it just doesn't feel like an international match day in my head today.
Do you know what
I don't know if you do, Al.
Do you know what it does, though? It does mean that if we lose, I won't care.
I can ignore
half
it.
As much.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I'm not invested in it.
And it'd be like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So we've haven't played England very much since 1984, since they ended the British Championships. And we have played them 5 times, I think, and lost each game. And they've really hurt. But I won't be particularly.
If we win.
If we win,
this will be the most important game that's ever happened.
Yeah. But Al made a good point early on. When they brought football back without the crowd, and some commentators said, well, If you miss the crowds, if you're one of those people moaning about there's no crowds, then you don't miss football, you miss crowds. And Alice said earlier, I said, well, but you're an idiot if you think that, because sport is that mutual, that shared passion. It is being there with your mates or your rivals, or you can't take that away from sport. It's ridiculous.
No. Also, I do miss crowds.
Yeah. I love crowds.
I love a crowd. Love it.
But it is, isn't it?
I miss Oxford streams.
Yeah,
Six Nations games, you know, the half the fun of living in Cardiff is being around your local pub and all of a sudden there's 29 Frenchmen in there with you who all want to have a conversation and have a laugh.
All dressed like Napoleon.
With cockerels under their arms, yeah. But that's a big part of it. I think that's a huge part of sport.
So I think, because when we started doing this and there was no live sport on, and we sort of, Steph had the idea of doing the clips, and everyone's got their favourite clip. Everyone's got their favourite piece of sport, their favourite sports person, right? And like you said then, Kieran, it's the memories that go with that. I might not remember the score in a particular Wales game, yeah, but I remember that day, and I remember sort of jumping up in the air and getting carried out, you know, with my feet not touching the floor from the National Stadium because there was that many people crowded around me. I can remember the crack, as you call it. So I think there is nostalgia in what we do, but I think it works then because we talk about you mentioned at the top you can't see the sports clips we're talking about. It's because without sounding trite, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you can't see that. We're talking about the people and the experience and what it meant to us and what it meant to people listening to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think El chose the sunshine underneath by the Hibs fans at the CIS Cup final. I honestly cannot listen to that without welling up. No, there's a certain point where they hit where it's 40,000, 46,000 people singing in unison, men, and it gets me every single time. And my mum actually, funnily enough, made the point years ago that whenever I'd be watching football, a song would a chant would start, and then afterwards there's this kind of roar because everyone's a little bit embarrassed that they've been singing alongside kind of their pals. But I don't think that's necessarily true. But I think it certainly has sport has the ability to bring people out themselves because.
Yeah.
Give you an example. Go on.
Well, with Hibs, they are a big club. They're certainly a big club in Scotland, but they were a tremendously unlucky club. And they hadn't won the Scottish Cup since 1904, I think. Mm-hmm. And they'd got to so many finals and lost. So when they eventually won it, that was over 100 years worth of pain and frustration.
Yeah.
Just being, just being all disappearing in one song. And you can... The way they're singing, it has a certain timbre to it, or there's just a quality to the singing, that it's a century's worth of pain and frustration gone in an instant, and that's why I think it's so powerful.
I think that one particularly because the lyrics are amazing. They're very, if you look at the actual lyrics, it's just a love song. I mean, it's a love song, obviously. Yeah. The lads are, it's a doctor by Higgs, but it's beautiful. And the sorrow, yeah, saying it again, you're like, yep, that's all the stuff they're exercising at that particular point. That's Scotland in one.
Well, just sorrow.
just sorrow.
It's also Wales. Well, my son, when we did well in the Euros in 2012, when Wales did well. 2012, wasn't it?
2016.
So when Wales did well in Euros 2016, my boy was, and we were watching the football, and he loved it. And we sort of get to a semi-final, and we lost in the semis, and we went to see the open top bus procession, which went just near to our house and everything, you know. And then the World Cup qualifiers roll around, and he just expects us to be in a World Cup. I said, we haven't qualified, mate. He said, what do you mean? I said, we're not playing in the World Cup. And it didn't compute. I said, how are we not in the World Cup? I said, maybe I've been in the World Cup since just after the war. I said, just being Welshers, get used to it.
Which war? Oh, yeah, not any of the wars you remember.
Any of the wars.
Yeah. Yeah, James McLean certainly broke a few hearts that night, didn't he? Bless him. We'll leave that there. There's no point raking it, real quick.
But you wouldn't trade that in that instant. But, you wouldn't trade all those years when you were disappointed for that one instant of joy. It's just amazing.
Exactly. And I think actually, just to bring that up for a second, Mike, I think you talked about Friendskin as well. It's an unbelievable book and worth rereading several times, which I've done. But he talks about there, because he's obviously a massive West Brom fan, talks about sport and kind of people's approach to sport. He doesn't trust people that kind of follow Arsenal. But he respects people that actively don't like sport because it's as if they've been hurt by it. They've had like a visceral reaction to it the other way. Yeah. So I always find that quite nice. But listen, there we go. Boys, I've taken way too much of your time as it is. But I really appreciate you guys taking the time to have a chat. And I wish you all the very best with the podcast. And just for those that might not have heard it, it's a socially distant sports bar. You can find it anywhere you get your quality pods. And I would sign up for Patreon unless you want Mike outside your gaff with a screwdriver.
Yeah, Well, I mean, that could happen.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Cook Unity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly, and new chefs are always joining the team, so you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning. Just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, Cook Unity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs, delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code PODCAST before checkout for 50% off your first week.